Psalm chapter 1, six verses. I've preached on it several times in different ways. The last time I preached from it was August. I didn't remember that it was so recent, but this is still good. It's good. But I'm not giving you an outline. I'm going to have you give me kind of an outline, okay? I'm going to read it. Just follow along, and I'm going to start writing on the board, and you're going to help me think through this, okay? Huge, huge passage of Scripture. Six verses, but very weighty, and it's amazing that it begins the book of Psalms. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's pray. Lord, help us to be encouraged and challenged today from your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's just start out here. What's the word blessed mean? Blessed is the man. Well, is it happy? Can you be happy and not be a believer? Well, there's probably some happy people last night. Yeah, too happy. I think it's more than being happy. Can you be blessed and be sad at times? Okay, so it's more than that is all I'm saying. It might involve that, but it's much more than that. Blessed is the man. What does the word blessed mean? I think contentment is a big part of it. Contentment in what way, though? I think there's a lot of people that are content that don't know the Lord. They shouldn't be content, but they are. Okay, God's grace. In what way? That'll teach you to say something, right, Jenny? Okay. I remember getting spanked once. I didn't deserve that. It was my brother's fault. That was the one time. That's why it sticks out so well. Ultimately, I think it has to do with what God does with you. You're blessed. And I like Jim's word for content. I'm going to add to it a little bit. It's like deep satisfaction, deep contentment, deep favor, maybe, from God. So it's in that vein. It's someone who has received goodness from God. Okay? Maybe that's a good way to say it. You've received goodness from God. Blessed is a man. Now, anyone here not want to receive goodness from God? Okay, and that's good to see, you know. I think everyone wants to be blessed. Well, we probably don't use the term as much, except for like bless our food, whatever that does to the food, right? But Lord, bless me. Lord, make what I do profitable. Allow good things to happen in me and through me and to me because of you. Okay, so blessed is the man. God causes good to come upon you. And it brings deep satisfaction, I believe. Okay? Fulfillment. All right? It scratches all your itches because that's the way God has made you. It's God giving you goodness. So blessed is the man, or blessed is the man who, what? There's three statements here in verse 1. Okay. I'm trying to see if I have enough space is all. I'm not hesitating. Not in the council of the ungodly. Okay. What is counsel? Advice. Very good. Another word.
Instruction.
Good. When you get instruction, it's kind of purposeful, right? Usually you go to a class or someone teaches you. And probably the same thing with advice. Is it possible to walk in the counsel of the ungodly in some informal way? Just letting it wash over you. How? Are we exposed to the counsel of the ungodly other than in a formal way? Okay, give me ideas here.
Conversations with others.
So, chatting with others.
Listening to the radio.
Television.
The news.
Television.
In our churches, in our schools, our homes.
Okay. Any kind of media, your magazines, any kind of groups, right? So you have to understand that. And notice what it's saying. The blessed is the man who does not do that. Okay? Hold that thought. Let's go to the next line. Walks not. Or what? Or stands in the way of sinners. What in the world is the way of sinners? As opposed to the counsel of the ungodly. What would this be in one word? A very general term, maybe. It's any kind of influence. Okay, I call it input. It's easier to spell. It's shorter. Okay? The input. When you are exposing yourself to input from the ungodly, whether it is the radio, the internet, the magazines, or whatever, it affects this, the blessed part. Okay? We'll talk more about it. The way. If you're in the way, not talking about being you're in my way, but you're in the way of sinners, what does that mean?
Following their path.
Okay. No. You can do place. That's supposed to be place. Presence, where you're at. It has to do with where you go. Now we can go a lot of places without leaving our living room, yes? Is that correct? The blessed man does not walk under the influence of the ungodly and doesn't go in the place of sinners, the presence of sinners. Whether it's bringing the sinners to you, or you go into the sinners. Where you go has a lot to do with whether you're blessed or not. Now, we're talking about your choices, your habits, your lifestyles. All of us have to be places where sinners are. But this seems to be the way, their course. Okay? Hang with me. Walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor... or sits in the seat of the scornful. Counsel is the input, their influence. If you're constantly getting bombarded, it will affect you. According to the Bible, sorry to break the news to you, but you're not impervious to the surroundings that you are in. And if you're where you shouldn't be, you're around sinners that are doing sinning, it'll impact you. What about this? It sits in the seat of the scornful. Do you notice the progression here too? You're walking. This is usually the way sin goes. You're listening. And all of a sudden, you're there. What is this then? Walk, stands, sits. You're sitting in the seat of the scornful. Yeah. You're doing it. And I call this a practice, for lack of a better term. Now you're part of it. You know, one of the first evidences of our departure of a righteous walk is what we talk about. Even Peter, I don't know why he pops into mind, you know, before the cock crows three times, you'll deny me. And he's like, I don't even know this guy. Right? This is the progression of influence over us and what we become. We become this if we do not willfully choose not to. Do you know that walking with God contains a big part of choosing not to do some things? Okay? Walking with God is not just showing up at church and thinking somehow, God, whatever you can do while I'm here, you go for it. This is your shot, because the rest of the week, the 167 other hours in the week, I'm just going to go with the flow. That will affect whether or not you are blessed. And we're going to talk probably a little more firmly than you care to hear today. Because you're either in one camp or you're in the other. And that's what your only choice is. Okay? Go ahead. The Amish, the... Yeah, well... I could see where you would, some people can draw that conclusion. Number one, you never read just one verse. That's part of, you read the verse in context. There's the immediate context, the context of the book, and the context of the Bible. Jesus was a friend of, got it? Okay, so that's part of the context of the book. But he did not, the Bible talks about us, where we're to be in the world, but not of the world. See, there's a distinction there. So, if we are doing exactly what the world is doing, then we are deceiving ourselves, thinking that we're different, when we should be different, but we're not. So, if all of our influencers are the same as the world's, and we're in the same place as the world, and doing what the world does, I don't mean to break the news to you, but we're worldly. Okay? It's not because we attend a church. It isn't because we've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, so that births us into the family of God. But there's a behavior process that God wants us to pursue as well, right? We talked about this Wednesday. Take up your cross and follow me. That's the pattern of discipleship, right? Galatians 5:25 gives the distinction well. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. There's a birth, but there's also a behavior. Those do not go automatically together. You can't have the behavior without the birth, but just because you're born into the family of God does not make you grow up into the family of God. That's a process. If you allow yourself to be driven by the currents of the world, you will be, what did we talk about Wednesday night? There were three types of people in 1 Corinthians, right? You had the natural man, which is unsaved. He's the soulish man. You have the spiritual man who's saved and walking by the Spirit, if you will. What's the middle person? Remember? The carnal or fleshly. And they are saved, but walking by the flesh. Okay? How does that fit in here? You know, the Bible doesn't contradict itself. Okay? How about walking not in the counsel of the ungodly? What's a fleshly person do? They listen to any music they want to. They read any books that they want to that scratch their own fleshly itch. They look at pictures that they want to look at. Fair? That their flesh, whatever feels good, they do it. That's their, they might not say it that way, but that's what they do. They go wherever they want to go. They don't take up the cross and die to themselves. What did Paul say? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but the life I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's Galatians 2:20. There's a difference between birth in the family of God and walking maturely in the family of God, allowing God to grow us. Okay? Sits in the seat of the scornful. Is it possible to be saved and be this way? Absolutely. Have you ever been scornful before? Have you ever let your flesh rule your spirit? And it affects your language, it affects your responses, it affects how you think. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the what? Lusts of the flesh. You think that was written to unsaved people? It's written to saved people. And again, I can understand where Jim's coming from. It's like, no, it doesn't say join the commune. You're just living by a different sheet of music. And that sheet of music is the Word of God. So if I want to do this, but the Word of God says, no, that is wrong, that is bad, that is against God's holiness, that's against God's pattern, God's design, then I choose what God wants. And he, by the way, he enables me to do that because he placed the third person of the Trinity within me that enables me to do right. I still have that flesh, but now I have the Spirit of God in me. Okay? In order to be blessed, it's more than just coming to church. Fair? It's saying no to certain things and yes to other things. I think of Titus 2. The grace of God that is bring salvation has appeared to all men. Now listen closely. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that's negative. That's about as negative. Saying no to ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, in this present time, now. But it says saying no to this, saying yes to that. It's just a different way to say the same thing that we're talking about here today. But you cannot allow yourself ongoing input of the world and not have it affect you. You cannot think that doing this will not lead to this, will not lead to this. It does. Listening to the input, if you will, without having the Word of God, you'll just be absorbed into the culture. You'll be absorbed into the sinful world, and you will become like them. And you won't even know it. The Bible talks about you'll be hardened through the deceitfulness of what? Deceit means that you don't know it, right? You're tricked. Okay? A lot of people, I think they're walking with God, and they're like, no, that you're just attending church. Right? There's a difference. Ready to move on? Got more to cover here. All right. Blessed is the man who doesn't do these things. Doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. Okay? It takes a separation to walk with God. All right? Here's a word that you see a lot. It's a contrast. But, in contrast, as opposed to this lifestyle of walking in the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of sinners, and sitting in the seat of the scornful, what's the difference? But, his delight, his purposeful focus, his choice to spend his time, mental energy on, and to live by, to cause to be his input. But his delight is in, let me get rid of that here, in the law of the Lord. Okay, with that verse, it balances out even there so far. Okay, his delight, instead of doing these things, he willfully chooses not to walk, stand, and sit in these capacities. He willfully chooses the law of the Lord, the instruction of the Lord. And in his law, what's he do? He meditates at least 1 hour every Sunday. I would say most people think that's adequate. Or they might even not even make it on Sundays. They'll listen to Christian radio and call it even. Couple favorite songs and they're good. Day and night. Now, does that mean, I mean, if you can't text while you're driving, it's probably not going to work well if you're reading your Bible while you're driving. You know what I'm saying? But if you're reading the Word of God in an immersive kind of way, you're reading a good chunk every day, if you're memorizing the Word of God, if you're putting yourself under the teaching of the Word of God, like you're here, I'm preaching to the choir here, right? It makes a difference. Then you're thinking on it while you go. And by the way, it isn't just meditating like it's not connected with what you do. It sheds light on everything you do, right? Psalm 119:11, your Word is a lamp to my feet and what? A light to my path. It helps me to see the world as God intended it to see, so that I see it accurately rather than seeing it by my evil heart's interpretation, right? Our hearts are deceitful. That means they will trick us. Fair? Have you ever talked yourself into something? And then, like, that was stupid. That was Kevin talking, right? Because I know what the Word of God says. Come on in, guys. And the Bible says our hearts are deceitful and what? Desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. Who can know them? In fact, the only solution to our heart seems to be the Word of God. Right? The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide between the joints and the marrow and the what? The thoughts, and to discern the thoughts and intents of our heart. I honestly believe that I can't sort out my thoughts to where it's Kevin or me Only the Word of God can. Okay? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Go ahead. You've had a long time to learn too, so this should be really good.
One of the things that I've learned, and it was almost like a progression with me, and that is I've come to a point where faith comes by hearing the Word of God. It's not just listening to preachers, it's not listening to just reading the scriptures. I've learned what I do in my meditations now in the morning is I sit and I have somebody read to me.
Yeah.
And I'm literally, and that's all I do. I sit there and listen. And it's amazing how much more I grasp that way. But that's just me. I mean, some people might not think that's a possibility, but if you start listening to the Word of God and you start hearing the Word of God,
yeah,
that'll overtake your...
Your different senses process the information in different ways.
It's using your whole body. I mean, yeah. Basically, it's not just your eyes to see,
right.
The hearing. I mean, I'm not just doing something while I'm listening. I'm looking at the words as I'm reading it.
Right.
And then, you know, if I see something, I stop what I'm doing and think about that, because that's something the Lord's, I think, trying to communicate to me what's there.
It's a different... world in which we live, but we have more opportunities to be in the Word of God than any other time in any other place. I mean, who would have thought you could carry a little tiny device and have the entire Bible on that little device? You can. You know, an MP3 player that will hold the entire Bible, all 1,089 chapters or something, and you can carry that wherever you go. Okay? So it's not a lack of opportunity, but what do we listen to instead? And that doesn't mean how I like listening to the news. I like keeping up on it. But I tell you what, if all you do is listen to the world's exposure of an explanation for what's going on, you'll become cynical, you'll become bitter, you'll become hateful, you'll probably become rebellious. Because the people that lead us aren't that great of people. Okay? Just the news, you'll just kind of give up because the law isn't served well, all of these things. And instead, you listen, but then it's the Word of God that carries your day. It's the Word of God that you expose to. How many hours do you spend in the Word of God a week as opposed to other avenues of influence? That's a good measure. If you have the radio on as opposed to off, guess what? You shut it off. Your brain might just all of a sudden cold start, and you might start thinking. I'm being facetious a little bit, but, you don't think when the radio's on. You just respond to when the radio's on, or whatever the case might be. You know, is the TV always on at your house? Well, you can't meditate if something's directing your thought processes. You need quiet, or you need the Word of God playing, but you need time to even think about the Word of God. Okay, you need those quiet times, literally. Whether it's riding in the car with the radio off, which some of us, it would probably about cause us to run off the road because we're not used to that. I mean, I'm kind of like, I like something in the background. But you know what? You shut the radio off and you start thinking. You don't even have to think about it. All of a sudden, it's like, you start thinking about what we talked about Wednesday night or if you're reading your Bible every day, you got all kinds of stuff to think about. Okay? But meditate day and night. If you're doing all this, that can't happen. It's either or. It's not both and. All right? I think we're going to buy another eraser with our new church budget. I don't know where they were.
Kevin, there should be one right there because I used one this morning right on top of the
pulpit. This right here?
No. One.
I'm teasing. There's no underneath. Oh, there it is. I got it. Thank you. Okay, natural, carnal, spiritual. All right. What comes next? And? Is it and? And he? Or is it he?
He.
Okay. He shall be...
like a tree.
I have no idea why this one.
Planted by the rivers of water.
What does that mean? What picture does that paint for you? That's a metaphor, right? And maybe in Israel it even means a little more. Yeah, at least patched into what can make you healthy and flourishing, right? You need water to grow. And this man will be like a tree that's planted right next to the water. Yeah, you know, so it's not fighting. Why? And guess what? You can carry your river with you. So we're not talking location here. We're talking, this is what you'll be like if you choose to be like this, okay? He should be like a tree planted by rivers of water. Help me out here. I always stumble on this. What is it? Is it which brings?
That.
That brings, okay. I'm fading fast. Okay.
What's that? Remember, Paul is talking about it'll be fruitful. It has everything it needs, and then it's fruitful when?
In its season.
In its season. That's kind of off on a sideline here, but understand that spirituality is a process and fruitfulness takes time. Okay? But it brings forth fruit in its season. It's fruitful. We can talk about spiritual fruit all day long, but it's there. All right? The person who doesn't do these things and does delight in the law of the Lord. Okay, keep going. I didn't hear the first word. It's leaf.
Whose
leaf shall not wither? What's the rest? This, to me, almost like it's a spiritual vitality. If you're not in the Word of God, you won't have the endurance, you won't have the strength, and you certainly won't have the fruitfulness that's there. The Word of God is essential to spiritual vitality. I don't want to say spiritual life, because that confuses people with birth. But if you want to flourish, that's what it takes. Delighting in the law of the Lord, as opposed to being like the rest of the world, who gets their influence in the world, they go to the places of the world, and they do what the world does. Okay? What's the next?
The ungodly.
But the ungodly are not so. Probably the six saddest words in the Bible in some ways. Right? But the ungodly are not so. Now, this is all well and good until you get to verse 4. And then it brings up a very stark contrast. Anyone catch it? Remember what I said earlier? It divides people into two groups. What are those two groups according to Psalm 1? You can say them in different ways.
The blessed and the ungodly.
A lot of times we like a third group, right? The group we're in. The group that, well, I don't want to do this, but I'm not ungodly. Is that what you see? The Bible draws a line with two groups of people. One group of people isn't in the Word. The other group of people is. The people that aren't in the Word are the ungodly. And do you understand why it says that? How can you be godly if you don't know what God says? You might be in the family of God, but you certainly aren't living like you were in the family of God if you're not in the Word of God. You can't. Because you're living by the counsel of the ungodly. That's all you have. That's your only resource at that point. And so you're doing you're in the way of the sinners and practicing what the sinners do. And frankly, if we're not in the Word of God, we don't even know that because our hearts are deceitful. And we're thinking, well, I go to church. Right? Am I off on this? There's two groups. The godly, the blessed, and the ungodly. The blessed do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Their focus is not on all the input of the world. They don't stand in the way of sinners. They're not there. And think of this as a lifestyle. Jesus went where sinners were, but it wasn't to be with sinners, to sin. He went there as salt and light. He went to impact them as the light. He didn't do what sinners did either. He was around sinners. He was called a friend of drunkards and gluttons, right? But he wasn't a drunken or a glutton. And everyone knew that. But the ungodly are not so. Keep going here. What's it say? But are like the chaff.
What's chaff?
The part of the wheat that breaks off.
Yeah. And it's probably generic any chaff. Like dust almost. You know what I mean? Chaff is dead. By definition, right? It's already, there's no life in it. And chaff, notice here what it does, which the wind drives away. The Bible talks about believers can be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Okay, so don't think that this isn't applicable. It is most applicable. All right? Keep going here. Therefore, notice, this is the last part here. Verse 5, right? I'm running out of space. Therefore what? The ungodly who don't delight in the law of the Lord. Right? The ungodly shall not stand. Is it in the judgment? Nor sinners in the congregation of the assembly. Or sinners in the congregation. It's interesting. Sinner, same word. Okay? Notice the place. It doesn't work backwards. Ultimately, when you get to the new heaven and new earth, there are no sinners there. Okay?
Kevin, that's the word just instead of assembly, it's righteous.
Of the righteous, thank you. You just wanted to see me use this eraser. Righteous. Notice the last verse here.
For
this should hit you like a hammer too.
The Lord what?
Right? Should that give us a little bit of pause? We're not pulling the wool over God's eyes if we're here rather than here, if we're living like the ungodly rather than the righteous. Okay, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Okay?
Need a different color here. Did you catch that? The way of sinners, and there stands in the way of sinners. It's a lifestyle. Same word here. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, the lifestyle, the path of the righteous. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let me ask you this, based on verse 6. How many ways are there? Are you catching it? There's not three. There's not a Christian that reads their Bible and then a Christian who doesn't read their Bible that's godly. Okay? There's not a Christian. No, let me say it again. There's not a Christian who is godly that reads their Bible and the Christian who is ungodly that doesn't read their Bible. And then the ungodly who don't read their Bible. As far as a way, a lifestyle, you're either a person who is delighting in the law of the Lord, or you're walking in the way of the ungodly. And again, you cannot get godly without the Word of God. And it has to be something you delight in day and night. Again, that doesn't mean you're driving around reading your Bible, but you have to let yourself think about it. You have to read the Word of God. You have to let yourself think about the Word of God. Even if it's stepping away from the internet connection, turning off the television, turning off the video games, closing the magazines or books, turning off the radio, whatever the case might be. But you, the Bible says, I need time. And that should be the time to meditate on the Word. And that should be the dictating habit of our lives. Not just 5 minutes without the internet. That's our lifestyle, because you don't get blessed by ignoring God's Word. Another way to say this, this probably even sounds kind of corny. You're either worldly or wordly. Corny, right? You're either worldly or you're in the Word. That's your only two choices. And I don't say this. I wish someone had helped me understand this better when I was younger. To understand that, you know what? It's always nice to read the Word of God. And if you're one of those super saints that kind of can, you know, make yourself do that, more power to you. Hey, do you want to come over through the game this afternoon? I wish they would have told me that this is how to be blessed, delighting in the law of the Lord. And again, it doesn't mean that you're reading through the, I know some people that have read through the Word of God every month. Yes, every month. I'm not even that fast of a reader. If I flipped all the pages without just reading the headlines, I probably wouldn't, it'd take me a month. But that doesn't necessarily make it either. It's not it's some ritual. And you'll see that I'm not talking necessarily quantity, but I'm talking about shutting stuff off and saying no to things so that you can be impacted by the Word of God. And I didn't say that. Because I like TV too. I like to read. I'm really slow at it. But I have more books than probably all of you put together. I like books. I like the internet. I hate email. That's another reason. I have over 700 unread emails at this very moment, right? But if we're constantly there, then our mind does not have time to meditate. And you have to be in the Word of God in some way, shape, or form on a daily basis. And you have to let the Word of God flow through you as you see what you do every day. But if you're constantly bombarding yourself with the counsel of the ungodly, even if it's some cool country western song that just keeps you from listening or meditating on the Word of God, then maybe you have to make changes. If you are not primarily driven by the Word of God, then we're worldly. That's the only way I can say it. We're ungodly because we can't get there. If you were a car, you need gas. And if the Word of God is the gas station, some of you would never leave your house. And you need a lot of gas to drive your car around, have you noticed? You know, that's why they have banks now at the gas station, because the gas is so expensive you have to borrow money to fill your car. I'm just kidding, no one's laughing, But that's the idea. The Word of God is our gasoline. It's also the windshield. It's like driving around it's like driving around with a box over your windshield, and you can't see where you're going. The Word of God is what shows you what is right and what is not right, and how to get right and how to stay right, right? It's not your two eyes, because you and I have deceitful hearts. And it's only as our hearts are enlightened on an ongoing basis by the Word of God that we're able to discern what is right or wrong. Because we will deceive ourselves. Right? Lean not on your own understanding. Well, I'm pretty smart. Well, God doesn't think so. At least he says your smarts are infected with sin, and therefore you will come with wrong conclusions that deceive yourselves. So what's the emphasis today? What do you think I'm going to talk about right now? Reading your Bible? Oh, that's a good segue there, huh? We need to be in the Word of God. Now, what I want you to do is commit to at least 66 chapters Not really. Just a habit of that. Listen, be in the Word of God some every day. And I'll give you options, suggestions. But also, turn it off. Close it down. Don't string out your life so much that you have no time to think about the Word of God. And if the noise of the world gets too loud, you need to back it down. And I'm not saying, okay, instead of 4 hours of football, I'm going to spend 4 hours in the Word of God. That's not a bad idea. Even if you do it once just to say I did it, and it was awful, it was terrible. I kept wanting to go over to the television, you know. But I'm just saying, okay, and then go work quietly somewhere while you're thinking. Shoveling snow helps me, or mowing the lawn, you know, it's that. It doesn't take a lot of mental energy, so then I think about other things. That's what I'm talking about. Let you think. Do something with your hands so you can think about the Word of God. My life in light of the Word of God. My marriage in light of the Word of God. My children or whatever, my influences in light of the Word of God. That's what I'm talking about. Every day I encourage you to read the Word of God. It might be reading through the Word of God in a year, which if you've never done, you need to do it at least once. I'd encourage you. There's nothing like eating a full meal in a year. Okay? But I'm not saying you have to. I sometime try and bite that off. It's not the marathon, really. It's really not. It's not like running a marathon, 26 and 2/10 miles or something like that. It's 15 minutes a day to read through the entire Bible in an average reading speed in a year's time. 15 minutes. There's 22 minutes of commercials and an hour of programming a day. If you watch television for 2 hours, you're using up three times the amount of time just in commercials. Okay, and I'm not saying you should be watching all that much television anyway, but I'm saying it's the time is there. It isn't an issue of time. Here's my suggestions here, okay? Different options. I have a reading schedule that it will take you through the entire Bible in a year. Today, you know what you'd have to read today? By the way, this is every day of the year. And let me ask you, can you pull this off? If you've never done this before, let me ask you. Can you read Genesis 1 today and Matthew 1 today? Anyone here don't think they can pull that off? My son Joseph has learned how to read. He could do that. That's all for today. Then you put it away. And then tomorrow, listen what it is. It's Genesis 2 through 4. They've kind of split it up because some of them are smaller. And then Matthew 2. That isn't hard. That isn't hard at all, is it? But being exposed, you get through the entire Word of God. December 31st, you're reading Malachi chapters 3 and 4 and Revelation 22. It's just little pieces. It's not huge. And I'm not saying this is you, but it's not hard to do this. And you can try. Or, if you want, you can read just the Old Testament. That's one row. And the New Testament. You can pick your, I don't want to say poison. Pick your privilege, okay? So you can do one or the other. Even that's another option. But I would encourage you to read every day. Here's another one. I'll do this one first. This one's just the New Testament. In a year's time. And it goes a little bit in different order, so it doesn't get boring. You're not reading all the Gospels before you get to Acts. You read Mark chapter 1. Today, tomorrow, Mark chapter 2. Tomorrow, the next day, Mark chapter 3. I mean, that's all you're reading. And then guess what? You get, it's only 5 days a week. You don't even have to read 2 days a week. And you can use it for catch-up or, you know, that's Saturday and Sunday and I take the day off. Okay? So you're only reading 5 days a week, sometimes not even a whole chapter, and you get done with the New Testament in a year. Maybe that's where, if you haven't ever read through the Bible, maybe that's where you should start. And I would encourage anyone that can read, okay, to do this. That isn't that hard. Even the younger kids could do that. Here's another one, another idea. This one you can read in any order. But the check boxes are designed so that if you read these, you'll go through the Word of God in 3 years. If you did a chapter a day, it would take you like 3.5 years. So they've combined some of the smaller chapters and stuff. Today would be Genesis 1. There's 31 verses in Genesis 1. Just saying. Okay? It's like usually one chapter a day. Sometimes there's two chapters because they're small. 3 years. And look at, you can do them in any order because there's no dates. That's the hard part about this. You can just check it off. You can read, I'm going to read Acts first, but if you do them in order, it takes you in it. It goes through Genesis, then you go through part of Matthew, then Exodus, then part of Matthew. So it kind of mixes it up for you, too. Another one here. This is the last one I have as far as an actual schedule. I put this one together a couple of years ago. Someone asked me, do you have something for teens? It's not the whole thing. You know, someone younger, like a junior higher. This takes you through 10 books of the Bible. I think it's Genesis, 1 and 2 Samuel, Psalms, Proverbs, John, Acts, Philippians, Titus, and 2 Thessalonians. So it's like a chapter a day. And for instance, the Psalm 119 is broken up into like 21 days because there's 21 8-verse segments. So there's nothing real hard here, okay? So that's another one too that just helps young people get into the habit of reading without having to try and drink the Mississippi River, so to speak, even though it isn't a lot of time and effort. The first time I read through the Bible, I used this.
It's just got a box for every segment, and then Psalm 119 is broken up into like 21 segments, or maybe it's 10 segments or something, because it's 176 verses. Those, Psalm 117 only has how many verses? Two. Yeah, Psalm 117, so I would always go there, someone goes, read a chapter of the Bible. It's like, okay, easy enough. Okay, so this goes through here, and you can read them in any order, and it tells you if you read four chapters a day, you'll get done in October. Okay, just four chapters a day, but you can read in any order. And then also, it's got a chart superimposed, and if you count how many you have done in every row, when you complete the row, you can, as long as you stay above the line, you finish by the end of the year in 50 weeks. There's different. Four chapters a day is 43 weeks. 23 chapters per week will get you through the Bible in 52 weeks. 23 chapters. You can pick any ones you want, any order you want. I like this because I wasn't starting in Genesis and finishing in Revelation. Okay? This is just a record, and you might want to do that maybe in conjunction with the three-year one. And you can use this for any amount, but you can read three chapters if you want. But this will take you if one checkbox a day in 3 years. But this you just check and say, I've read the Bible today, I prayed today. It's just kind of a personal record that way. But I challenge you. And by the way, anyone have a cell phone, like a smartphone? You can look up on the internet. It's the YouBible. It's free. They have a bazillion, maybe two bazillion, reading schedules. Some of them take you through the New Testament, some of them through the whole Bible. There's lots of different ones. You can read 10 chapters a day from all kinds. I like to read through a book at a time kind of thing. But there's different ones. There's one called The Blended, and it takes you through an Old Testament book, then a New Testament book, and that's a good one too, but it's free. And it's all there. If you can download it on your cell phone, okay? So free is good too. So, and I have lots of others, but these are probably the best ones. I'll try and come up. I have a two-year one, but it wasn't formatted well, so I'll have to reformat it myself. But a two-year one too. But I encourage you to be in the Word of God. It doesn't take a lot of time. It's saying, God, you're first. It's saying, God, I want to be blessed. And I understand that without your input and me running your word through my mind, I end up just like the ungodly. That's the natural course. You're like jumping in the river and you just flow with the rest. And the Word of God helps you to see that you need to get out of the river first, and then you live differently, okay? So that you can impact the sinners you're around. So that you, as a sinner who's been saved by God, can impact others rather than go with the flow, right? Questions or comments? Yes, sir. Yeah.
To work. And I got through the entire Bible in 3 months.
And that's an hour a day of communing as well. 1 hour a day. And you read through the entire Bible
in 3 months.
It's not building the Empire State Building to read the Bible. It is not. It's a simple, bottom line, it's an issue of taking advantage of the time you have or taking time priority-wise to do it. By the way, when you read through it faster, it's amazing. When I was in the Army, you knew that, right? I had radio watch one time. I was out in the desert in California, and I had like 12 hours on, 12 hours off, and I read through entire books of the Bible in one sitting, like Joshua. I tell you what, that'll change the way you see things. I read through 1 Peter, 2 Peter. I was like, wow. Reading it all together rather than three verses in some kind of devotional that tells me. This is like, it helped you see the big picture. I'm going to kill myself with these markers. It helps you see the big picture of that book in a way that you don't see otherwise. And if you sit down and read 10 books at once, you know, and again, I had just time to kill, so to speak. I have my new Schofield Bible out in Fort Irwin, California, middle of nowhere, and I'm reading these different books, and I'm like, wow. This kind of all goes together. You know, I don't know. I probably read through a third of the Bible in a week's time.
you know, because I had that kind of time in it. It was fascinating. It's like, first it's like, hey, this is pretty good. It's not, it's, you think it's like eating your, well, something you don't really like a lot, spinach or broccoli or something. I like both of those, so that's not a good example. But you know, at first thing they're like, you know, when you start getting into it, you're like, hey, this is actually rather interesting. And all of a sudden you're like, God is kind of chewing up my heart a little bit on this. I never knew that was in Leviticus. You know, it's just, Leviticus got some cool things. There's other stuff that's like, man, this is crazy. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God if I had to repeat everything about the temple. You know, build it this way, and then they built it this way. It's like, okay, they have so many silver sockets, and, you know, why? And I'm sure even you could come up with some ideas now, but I'm saying it's still good. And then you realize how much detail they had to go through, and we don't have to do that today. I like grace a lot better than the law, personally.
Pastor,
yes?
That people can do just for to help them get started. Pick just one book of the Bible.
Yes.
And just read it.
Yes.
And don't worry about the verses or the chapters. Just read that book. Just keep reading. When you get done, start over again. I know people, we get in a thing, well, I've already read it. Just because you read it doesn't
mean. Yeah, I've seen the movie already, yeah.
Yeah, that we don't need to do that. We can keep reading it and reading it and reading it. And when you do that, and you know, like you said, I love this chapter, I love that chapter. People, things become real to them. Things
yes.
become alive to them, and that's what the whole thing is about.
There's a lot of different ways to study the Bible. Reading through it is just one way. Reading through it allows you to see the big picture and to become familiar. It doesn't get you deep necessarily, but it's hard to get deep if you don't see the big picture too. So you all kind of need both. But sometimes reading through the same book over and over, I know John MacArthur, that was what he suggested. I was in the military when I heard that, so I started reading 1 John, and he said, you know, bite off 5 or 7 chapters, whether it's the same book, but read it every day with a blank sheet of paper and take notes. That's when God helped me find my assurance of salvation. 1 John 5:1, you know, it's like, I don't know how many times I read it. I only read it for a week, every day for a week. Took notes and all that. And to this day, that's what grounded me in my salvation, you know. And it was that method there. So lots of different ways. But you cannot not be in the Word of God and be godly. It doesn't work. So, and whether it's listening to the Word of God, which we have that capability now. Years ago, you didn't have that capability at all. Most people didn't even have a copy. They had to memorize what they had, okay, because there just wasn't no printing presses or whatever. We have Life Good. Lots of ways. You can watch video Bible. I'm not sure how that works, but, I mean, hopefully it's words, but if you see it acting out, I think you're going to miss out, really. It's going to rob your imagination, but if that's what you want to do, go for it. And I'm much more for you being in the Bible than not. So, all right. If you have any questions, these are here. I have one of these. I had one other one that I've used. That's the Discipleship Journals all through the year Bible, just like this New Testament one. But for some reason, my printer refused to print it. They printed everything else, but it wouldn't print it. So I have that as well. That's kind of like 25 days a month, and the rest is kind of reflection or whatever, too. But it goes through the Bible in a year. But I have several different options here, or you can do something, whatever you want. But I encourage you to do something that works your way through the Bible, or like Pastor Jim said, maybe, okay, you want to study one book, not even just study, but read it over and over till it kind of becomes part of you. That's fine, too. There's no right way, but I encourage you sometime read through the Bible. And I would do that regularly, whether it's every 3 years, starting over or whatever, but there's so much to be had. And it will, I tell you what, I've been through 4 years of Bible college. I've been through quite a few seminary courses. I've studied the Bible for years and years and years as a pastor, but there's not one thing that's done more for me in my spiritual walk than reading the Bible. I'll tell you that. Reading the Bible through. And I've had other people tell me that too, here at Northridge, in fact. And we've had people with eighth grade educations read through the Bible. It's not a seminary thing. It's a we can do it thing. Right? If you don't understand everything, that's okay. Understand what you can and move on. That's what reading the Bible is about. So, but it's getting the big picture, and it's amazing how you will understand God in a different way when you read through the entire Bible. So, anything else? Dory. Is he the 10 chapters?
He's
four chapters. Yes. Right.
So it's two passages. You can do it morning and night, or you can do it together. And then there are two passages for private, for each of us alone.
Right.
The Lord. And so that's a really, we used
that's
it
right
several
next
years ago, and it, we really like it.
And when you do it all together, you end up reading through the entire Bible. As an individual, because you're reading some of it with your family, some of it by yourself.
But the advantage of reading, because, I mean, even our personal schedule is going to be the same.
Right, so you can discuss what you've read.
Jim, what does this mean? You know,
yeah.
I can ask him, and if yeah. we can talk about it, then, you know, he always knows. Anyway, we can talk about it together as a family.
And that's good. Yeah. And I have those if you want those, too, because I have several different ones, too, but I like going through books. If I get too many books going, one was like 10 different at the same time, and I'm like, it's a different way to read it, but I'd rather read through a section. Like a lot of these are two books at a time. But that's a great idea, though, because then, like you say, you can discuss it, even and it helps you do some things privately and together, too. So, good. Anyone else? If you have questions, these are up here. You feel free to grab them. If you want one of these, let me know. I'll make copies. We might even have some copies out there.
What would be, what's really something, if you have somebody that you are accountable to? I mean, if this sounds strange, but yeah, I have done this for years where I have started reading my Bible through the year. And like you say, you get to Leviticus, and or you get to Numbers, and the begottens and begottens kind of get to you.
And yeah, the chapters on the temple.
Yeah, well, yeah, you get in there, and the thing is, if you have somebody to, that you're accountable to or for, not just the pastors, but family members or friends, that kind of, hey, how are you doing today in your Bible reading?
Mm-hmm.
Just that little bit of encouragement. Hey, how's it going?
Or I would recommend, instead of waiting for someone to ask you, you make a commitment that every time you see me, you're going to tell me how you're doing in your Bible reading.
Right.
That way the monkey's not on my back, the monkey's on yours. But I mean in a good way. Right. So, yeah, and you might want to just share. If you want to email me, I can put them all in the bulletin next week. This is what I'll be doing. By God's grace, a scrimmage. Try four. I'm going to actually aim for 15 minutes a day in the Word of God. I'm going to try and read the whole Bible, or I'm going to try and read through the New Testament. 5 minutes a day for 5 days a week. You know, whatever. So, because we can share, and that's another way to encourage people, too. So we've had a lot of people read through the Bible here at Northridge, haven't we, over the years? We have, so. And that's just, to us, a kind of a staple. It's just a normal thing, so. Yeah. No, and that's what I encourage you. Every year you hear me say something about it. Sometimes a sermon, sometimes just, hey, here's a bunch of stuff. Last year I did just we had a second session, and I went through all this, not these. These are all new mostly, but to encourage you. But this time I thought, well, really make a difference to spend some time in the Word and explain why we need to be in the Word. So, plus, it's my favorite Old Testament passage, so I enjoy it. All right, let's stand and let's close in a word of prayer. And the stuff's up here. If you want to use these or something else, that's great. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for just being with us. Help us, Lord, to be in your word, whether it's as a family, reading together as a couple, as individuals, maybe a mix of all of that. Lord, whether it's reading through the Bible, reading through the New Testament, maybe just reading through certain books until we feel like we got a grasp on them before we move ahead. Lord, there's absolutely no way I can teach you the Bible as a pastor. And yet you've given us 66 books. They're there for a reason. And they probably aren't there for a pastor to be able to exhaust in his lifetime. So help us to avail ourselves of the truth that you've given to us, to be in the Word and to see you for who you are, and to, Lord, to keep our hearts tuned to you rather than allowing our hearts to deceive us and thereby walking in an ungodly way, even though we might be faithful in attending church. Help us, Lord, to be in your Word, to delight in the law of the Lord and meditate in it day and night. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.